Okay, welcome back. We begin Parshas Lech Lecha, Tavshin Ein Ches, and we make today's shir as Refuah Shleima for Chavarus Bas Sasha. And you had somebody else who was disabled?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, we'll do it
Natalie,
later.
Natalie Simcha. Bat Adrichana.
Okay, that was the one I was looking for. Okay, so let's begin the Parsha. Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lech lecha mi'aretzcha, go out from your land, mi'latcha, from your birthplace, mi'beis avich l'aretz ashereka. Everyone knows the beginning of this Parsha. And I'd like to speak about where Avram Avinu, where is he going? And what is he called? So we know Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lech lecha, go mi'aretzcha, umi'latcha, mi'beis avich l'aretz ashereka. It means Avram Avinu was going from point A to point B. He was going from where he'd grown up, his birthplace, and now he's going to Eretz Yisrael. So I saw a question asked in the Amayin HaShavua, a very interesting question. He asked, why is it that there is such a dogesh in calling Jews Ivrim? Even today, an Ivri is a Jew. What did it say? It says at the beginning part in your Sefer Yeshua, at the end, Yeshua talks about the history of the Jewish people in Perek Chavdal, very interesting, recommended for everybody to read. Vayomer Yeshua el Akolam, Koyomer Hashem elokei Yisrael, so says Hashem, the God of Israel, Be'evr hanor yoshva avaseichem. Your parents lived, Be'evr hanor, on the other side of the river. Mi'oilav ekach zavichem es Avram, and I took your... Hashem says, I took them out, Me'evr hanor, again, from the other side of the river. Va'oilach ha'isoi b'chol eretz Canaan, and I brought him into all the land of Canaan. Va'arba ezaro, ve'etim lo yis Yitzchak, and I gave him Yitzchak. So we see that Avram Avinu was known as Avram ha'ivri. When we want to call him his last name, he said, what's Avram's last name? So we call him Avinu. The Torah says, doesn't call him Avram ha'ivri. And you find that by other places. You find it that Kach kriim kol ha-yehudim l'daris. And when it says, what does it say when we sell a Jew, Nebuch has to be sold into bondage? It says, ki mach l'cha achicha ha-ivri o-avriya. Again, we're called an ivri or an avriya, a man or a woman, is it called an ivri or avriya. What does it say when Moshe Rabbeinu found the two Jews fighting with each other? What do we call them? Shnei anoshim ivrim nitzim, right? Two Jewish men, they were ivrim. What did Yaina say when he was identifying himself? He said, Ivri anoichi, Yosef hatzadik, nar Ivri. Again, he calls everybody's, it was so much we're calling Ivri, we find this throughout history to this day. So he says, the question is, he puts it in a very funny way, Madua and Shaykh, why is this so important to us that we're always remembering that we're Iraqis? Basically, we came from Iraq, that's where Avram Avinu was. That's who Karan was. Everything was there. And he came to Eretz Yisrael from Iraq. So why is it so important to remember that we came from Iraq? Why is that so much part of our heritage that we know ourselves as Ivrim even to this day as Jews, which is would be the translation. And he says, and furthermore, we find an interesting thing. If you go back to Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, take a look on page 9 in the Art Scroll, and the Pasuk tells us that Hashem, Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Be'edim Mikedem, and Hashem created a Gan Eden, right? Vayosim Shom Es Odom Asher Yotzer, and He put there the man He created. That means, where was Avram Avinu born? Not in Gan Eden. Everything's born in Gan Eden. He wasn't. He was born outside. And Hashem put him into Gan Eden. But He didn't put him there right away. That's question number 2. And question number 3 is, if you learn the Chazal, the talk about Ikfas the Mashiach, it is a very scary time. And we all know it. Just say a few of the things that he mentions are before the Gula. It says, it's going to get, everything's become expensive. Right? Sounds familiar. The government will become apikarsim, which today we know that, you know, separation of church and states. Government is officially, and even more so, it's becoming anti-religious, not just anti-Semitic. In many governments, there's an anti-religious spin in government. Norm pnei zakenim yalbinu, the norm will embarrass their elders. You find it's going to be youth culture. Ben Einim is Baish Mi Aviv, the son won't be embarrassed by his father. Tichla Prutim and Akis, on and on and on. There won't be a Prutim and Akis. Vein Oizer Besaymet Yisrael. And it's going to be difficult. As a matter of fact, there's certain of the Gedolei Torah of that time, the Amorayim, when they talked about this, they say, Mashiach Zolkim, and I don't want to be there. I don't want to be around anymore because it's going to be such a difficult time. So why is that? Why does it have to be so difficult? So question number one is, why is there this doggish on every... Question number two is, why was Avram Adam Rishon born outside of Gan Eden and placed into Gan Eden? Question number three is, why is Mashiach Satan going to be such a difficult parshat coming to it? So he says, Amayra de Gazach. He says... And I'd add more than one question that he doesn't say. Why didn't, if we're supposed to be Eretz Yisrael, Dikah, why weren't we all born there? Why wasn't that, why did Avraham Avinu have to start here and go to Eretz Yisrael? If Eretz Yisrael is our natural home, as we're going to see in a word from Shamshon Pinkus, why didn't Kadosh Baruch Hu start us out over there? Start us out there. And then we'll know what we're talking about. Why didn't he start us out here and bring us there? Start right away in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's very good. He says a little bit different, but that's an excellent answer. He says that the pshat is like this. Kedei lahakir toiva. A person has to be makir toiva. A person has to recognize. If a person doesn't realize where he came from, he can never appreciate what he has. So if a person came, grew up very wealthy, he takes wealth for granted. If a person grew up with a lot of nechazim, he takes it for granted. He can't even imagine a time when you didn't have such things. To him, it's like it's unfathomable that you should grow up in a time when people didn't have it. To him, that's how important it is. I'll tell you, I'll tell you a secret. I grew up in a city that didn't have a pizza shop. Didn't have it. To this day, when I walk in a pizza shop, I get a certain thrill. Oh, look at this. There's such a thing. Because it's something you didn't have and now you have. So what he said is that there's hakaras hatoiv, that a person does not have hakaras hatoiv for something. He doesn't recognize what he has until he didn't have it and then he has it. I was at a lecture yesterday from Dr. Eli Shapiro about the internet issue, and the addiction to the internet and so on. And he's saying that the people of the older generation are what are called internet immigrants. And the people who are the younger generation called internet natives. In other words, they grew up with it. So a person of our age sees a computer, goes very fast, they're still in the spoil. They see technology, it's wonderful, look at this. But we don't get excited about telephones or radios, but maybe our parents' generation or grandparents' generation did. Because we only get excited and only are makir toiv that which we did not have and that which we now have. If we didn't have something, and we now have something, that excites us. If we always had it, didn't, doesn't. So therefore, he says that Avraham Avinu, Dafka was not born in Eretz Yisrael, was born outside, and we constantly mention it. So we should not forget to have a curse of Tavik Ganesh and put us in Eretz Yisrael. Never take Eretz Yisrael for granted, which you will. If you're an immigrant, everybody knows in the immigrant experience that immigrants are always more patriotic than the next generation. Because they're so grateful to the country that took them in. They're big patriots. Americans are big patriots, the immigrants. And they do studies that show as the generations go on, they become less patriotic. Because the curse of Toiv is no longer so strong because they take it for granted. Avraham Avinu came dafka not, and he was dafka with a lech lecha mi'aretz l'milad beis avicha, el aretz ashereka, because I want you to be makir toiv. I want you to realize it. I'm not even telling you where you're going in advance. I want the excitement, the tension, the suspense. If you've ever had, you're coming up not far from Hanukkah, and if you have a Hanukkah party, and you get calls from all the kids, the Einikluch, and they all want to know what they're getting, right? Because they want to know. And if you tell them, I can't tell you, you have to give it at the party. The excitement is like, I am a Naira. So they're so excited. So that's it. So Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell Avraham Dafka where he's going, and made him start somewhere else, not in Eretz Yisrael, in order that he should have that excitement and appreciation. In the same way, Adam Rishon was not born in Gan Eden. Adam Rishon was born outside of Gan Eden. He was put into Gan Eden so that Adam Rishon should have an appreciation of Gan Eden, of what he's getting. He shouldn't take it for granted. And he says in the same way, that's why we have Chevel Mashiach. Because Mashiach, it becomes too easy, then we won't appreciate that we have Mashiach. So we have to have a tekufa where things are not going to be to our satisfaction. Things are going to be difficult. They're going to be rough, as we said. And then when Mashiach comes, we'll all be mamash chalshim to have Mashiach. And this is what he says, David HaMelech says, until him, the pasuk, Hashienu Hashem Elokeinu v'kabtzeinu min hagoyim, Hashem save us, take us out from all of the nations, in order that we should be makir toiv, we should be able to be makir toiv, because only when we're taken out, tilim kuvav mem zayin, kuvav mem zayin. So we should be taken out from where we were in order that we should be able to be makir toiv of where we are. And without that, we don't always have it. So there's a tremendous lesson in life that people should always, you know, we have a way of forgetting. We forget. Somebody does us a favor, and we forget. Somebody, we move somewhere, and people are nice to us, and we forget. So we see over here that if we're still called Jews, after thousands of years, the lesson is that we should never forget. There's Akar Satoiv, we have Takash Baruch, he brought us to Eretz Yisrael. Never forget that. That's what we have to remember. And we have to remember that for all the types that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, there has to be that inyan of never forgetting. If you remember, we once mentioned by Moshe Rabbeinu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu when he came to me, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't go serve the Jewish people because I'm a kfad peh. I don't speak well. So Hashem says, don't worry, I'll heal you. And Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't take him up on the offer. And you remember the pshat that we said, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu take him up on the offer? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, how did he get to be a kvad peh? Because we all know the story. He put his finger into his mouth, and it got burned. So he became a kvad peh from it. So Hashem saved him, because the malach, he was going to touch the diamond and been killed. The malach came and slapped him, so he became a kvad peh. He couldn't speak properly because of that. He wanted to always remember in his, that every time he says, I'm a kfad peh, oh, because Hashem saved me. And if he'd be healed, he was worried that he would forget. I was told, when I said this over once, that somebody mentioned me, I forgot which gadol, kept, when they got the visa, that they should be able to go out of Germany, or out of Europe, and they were safe from the Holocaust, the envelope that they kept, got the visa, and they kept always, and they put in framed and put on their wall, in their house. So they should always remember and have a curse of toy what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for them. That it shouldn't be something that was, you know, one time, you know, one and done, and forgotten. But it should always be there. So this is the lesson of Avraham Avinu, and this is the lesson of the Jewish people coming from outside Eretz into Eretz Yisrael. That's why we weren't born in Eretz Yisrael, Lekatchila, why Avraham wasn't just placed in Eretz Yisrael, and why we always are called Ibn. Okay, let's move on in our Parsha. And if you can turn to Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tezvot. Okay, Yud Gimel Tezvot is page 35. So the Pasuk tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take them into Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to He has called Ha'aretz Asher Ata Royal Lechot Nenel Zaracha Ad Oilam. Hashem is going to take us into Eretz Yisrael. What you see is always going to, I'm going to take you into Eretz Yisrael. Vasamti Zaracha Kafar Ha'aretz Hashem Yuchol Ish Limnois Asafar Ha'aretz Gam Zaracha Yimone. And again, we have this concept, we're talking before about Eretz Yisrael, we have this concept of a Kodesh Baruch Hu taking the Yidden always into Eretz Yisrael. And this is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises over and over and over to each of the others. What does he say? Bayayma hu karas Hashem es Avram bris lemer lezarach and nasati saratz azayis. So Avram, Hashem, what does he promise him? Go into Eretz Yisrael. Yitzhak, he promises. Ki lechol lezarach etin es kol ratzas eilem. In perichav vapasuk gimel. That's Yitzhak. And in Yaakov, he promises him. Ha'aretz asher toshayev le'alachot nenel zaracha in Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Yud Gimel, and when he talks to Moshe Rabbeinu, ve'ered latziloi miyad Mitzrayim la'loisim in Ha'aretz ahu el Eretz Tayver Chav Eretz Avaskol Avetvash. So we see the theme going throughout Sefer Breishis, to Avram, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, and to Moshe Rabbeinu, is always going to be that you're promised Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Freck of Shamshin Pincus. He says two questions. Number one, we're living for thousands of years already in Galus, right? It's over 2,000 years, right? It's the year 70. Well, we're not almost 2,000 years, right? We're getting closer. It's already not so far away. And we didn't have Eretz Yisrael. So why is the Torah put such a stempel on Eretz Yisrael as part of the Jewish experience when we've been outside? So he said, listen, but what has kept us alive all these years? Torah and mitzvahs. So the question is, why do we not find the Kodesh Baruch Hu saying to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, you should know, I promise your children are going to get the Torah. I promise you're going to get mitzvahs. Because that's what's been keeping us going all the years. Why is there the dogish dafka in Eretz Yisrael and not on Torah and mitzvahs that we don't find that always being promised? Remember the kasha? Good kasha. It's a very profound kasha. What is this hadgasha on Eretz Yisrael? So he says like this. He says to explain it, we can go to a bracha that's given to the chasen kala. What's the bracha we all give to the chasen kala? We say shezachu livnos bayis nem of Yisrael. They should build a bayis neman. And he says the same kasha should be asked there. You know, even if they don't have a house, they could raise the kids in an apartment. Raise the kids in a hotel. It could, I mean, you know, if it could be in a tent. Why is the bayis? What do we mean when we say to build a bayis neman be Yisrael? So he says, you know what the bayis means? What the bayis means is that you are creating a new unit between a husband and wife. And there's going to be a bias is something that's mukbal. It's something private. It creates a privacy. It creates an intimacy. You have a ceiling and you have the four walls. And within those four walls live the husband and the wife. They are now going to be together. They're going to be doing many things together. They're going to be, in Mitzvah Shem, having children. They're building dairis. They're going to make parnasa. They're going to have hachnasas orchem. They're going to do mitzvahs. Everything's going to happen. But the bias is what creates the atmosphere, what creates the place, creates the venue where all of this is going to happen, where everything else is going to happen for them. And he says, and that's why we call it a bias neman. He says, because they could live in a bias, but this one could live on this side, and this one could live on that side. You read the kids' books, you know, where they have, where they put the yellow line down the middle of the house because two brothers can't get along, and they're all going to have their own side of the house, you know, label makes labels. Now, that's a bias, but it's not a bias neman. So we ask for bias neman, we want you to build that bias to create that new space just for you, for the two of you, a new space, an enclosed space, a space that is your space, and that's where everything else is going to happen. And he says that's what Eretz Yisrael is for the Jewish people. Eretz Yisrael is our space, it's our bias neman, it's our place of kedusha where we can do everything in the best way possible. Yes, we can keep Yiddishkeit going in Galus. First of all, we don't have all the mitzvahs that we have when we're in Eretz Yisrael. But even without that, it's not in the full vibrancy. What is? There's even gemaras that say somebody's dor b'chutzorz ki lo avod avod zara. There's many chazals. The richness, we're living, but we're not living in the bayis neman of Eretz Yisrael. And he says, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why we have the constant avtachas. Go to Eretz Yisrael, go to Eretz Yisrael, go to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Children are going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Because that's the place, that's our home, that's our bayis neman. He says, "Zuayis atachas shel kakosh barkel avos hakadoshim, b'neiim yichnusu l'eretz Yisrael. The children will go into Eretz Yisrael. V'yichyu yachad im harabbanis shel olam, and they will now become a bayis neman together with the kadosh baruch. As we always know, in the melitza klal Yisrael is always the wife, and the rabban shalom is the husband. So we will now create in Eretz Yisrael. That's where our bayis neman is." The loyal seichel garim zor yisar b'neim. There won't be other foreign influences on them, and it will just be klal Yisrael together. Zehu tzuras amitas shel hayadis. That's the best way. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Yes, of course, it's going to be Torah. Of course, it's going to be mitzvahs. But I want you. But in Eretz Yisrael, you will have the proper framework within which those Torah mitzvahs should exist." So that's a very beautiful concept. And by the way, it means a lot to us also. Because, you know, there's very interesting halachas. There's a halacha that you're supposed to be koveya, a place where you daven, for example. It's even for women. If they're not going to shul, they're supposed to take, my wife has my shtender, that's where she davens, that's a special place because it's a mukim kavua. That's Admas Kodesh, right? You're creating a space where that becomes a space which is infused with Kedusha. We can infuse a physical space with Kedusha, but that's the bias concept. The bias concept is the intimacy of a house, and that's the Eretz Yisrael, is the bias nemen of Klal Yisrael, where we live together with Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's why it's so much part of our heritage in Sefer Bereishis, where we're always talking about going to Eretz Yisrael. Let's take a look, move on. In Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet, Rav Shamsham Pinkus also says another, you know, just a gainus, as he always does. Let's take a look at this next page. Yud Dalet, two pages, page 37. So what happens over here? Let's first go into the story a little bit. There's a war. And this war in Nebuch, what happens in the war between the five kings and the four kings? Lot gets captured, right. So they took Lot. And of course Avram goes to save him, and according to the Mefarshim, they really weren't going after Lot, they're really going after Avram. One pshat is they made a mistake because Lot looked exactly like Avram. Another pshat is they get Lot to worship Avodah Zarah. They could make fake news that everybody's worried that Avram worshipped Avodah Zarah because they looked the same, you know. So they had all sorts of, whatever the kavanas were, but there's this war. So what happened to Avram? Vayikus life is Rechushai, and then we go on to Pasuk Yudal, Vayishma Avram, and Avram hears, Ki Nishba Achiv, that his brother, who he was captured, Vayarek is Chanicham, and he takes his Talmidim, and he gathers them together, Yilidei Besa, Shemayin Aser, Ushlai Shmeus, 318, Eliezer, or 318, Vayir the Vadon, Vayicholak, and he wins the war. And what happens after the war is over? So, he takes frees all of the people from Sodom, and we know the rest of the story. He has the whole question about, you know, what they should do with the captives and so on. But Rav Shamsham Pinkus asks a very profound question. He says, Avram Avinu, his purpose was to free Lot, right? But what did he end up doing? He could have left the people of Sodom in captivity. If anything, I would imagine that he would have had a pretty good reason to leave them in captivity. Because if you remember, the Sodom people weren't such nice folks. They were the antithesis of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu stood for chesed, chesed, chesed. And they stood for the opposite. They stood for cruelty, they stood for azorius. So he says, Achu losa, he didn't do that. It hits those, he saved them. It's kala shalem. Zois afa lo'ov deshan shei Sodom, ho'yo'ov v'amitim. They were really his enemies. So why did he save them? Why did he say, hey, this is a great opportunity, I didn't do anything, you know, what am I going to go out of my way to help these guys? Secondly, when he said, Hashem said, I'm going to turn over Sodom, not only did he save them, he prayed for them. He davened for them. So why did Avraham Avinu want to do that? Avraham Avinu would seem to be the last person who's the epitome of chesed would want to save these people. It's Takakash. It says, on the other hand, you see Bilam, who was willing to curse the people that didn't do anything to him at all. They weren't even a threat. It was like the Iranians today. You know, Israel is no threat whatsoever in any shape or form to Iran. But Rahman al-Islam, they want to kill everybody in Israel. Why? That's a Russia. That's something we can't fathom. That's the mind of a Russia. And that was Bilam. So how do we understand it? So he says, it's all in a pasuk from Shlomo HaMelech that he says in Mishle. In Mishle Yud Zayin pasuk Chavav, the pasuk says, he says, Gam Anosh LaTzadik Lo Tov. So I would have thought the translation is, Gam Anosh LaTzadik Lo Tov. It's not good that a tzadik gets punished. Gam Anosh LaTzadik Lo Tov. So the translation is not like that. The translation is, one who's not good will punish even the righteous. Gam, listen, right? Gam anosh letzadik lo tov. It's bad. It should really say gam lo tov. You know, anosh letzadik. But it says it in poetically. Gam anosh letzadik lo tov. The lo tov. The bad person punishes, but the good person doesn't. Shagam should be dehat tzadik and ligram einshim l'rishoyim. He says rishoyim could cause the rishoyim to have einshim. Like asukach. They never want anyone to be punished because of them, even a bad person. They don't want a tragedy or a sad thing to happen, even to a bad person, because of them. And even if they will have punishment from Shemayim, they feel bad because they're hoping the person would do tshuva. They feel bad when a person's a Rasha. And we feel bad when a person's a Rasha. We don't want people to be Rashayim. But there are. So they have to be punished. Shemayim punish them, unless it's necessary, of course, for me to punish them. So he said, David HaMelech said on Dayag, and Achi Teufel, Rashayim, Ani b'chalaisim levushi sak anisi b'tsayim nafshi. You know, when they're in trouble, I'm wearing sock because I feel bad about it. So he says, this was the Hanhaga of Avraham Avinu, and we have to go in his way, that we never want that something bad should happen to people on our cheshbon. And he says, he brings a very interesting story. It says like this. He says there was a God, you do a mash amr echem igdaylei oylem, shabo echem lefonav. Somebody came in front of him who had a fight with somebody. And he said on that person, ahu rasha mitzvah lekayvrei. It's a mitzvah tzem bagrubin, as we say in Yiddish. It's a mitzvah to bury that person. That's how much he hated that person. And he told the tzaddik to mitzvah to bury the person, because he's such a bad guy. So what did tzaddik say to him? He said an interesting thing, an interesting pshat. It says when the Yidden were coming out from Mitzrayim, so we know that only one-fifth came out. What happened to the other four-fifths? They died in Makas Chayshach. So where did their bodies go? So it says that the Yidden, Rashi tells us, the Yidden spent Machash Chayshach burying those Rishayim, right? They wanted to bury the Rishayim because it shouldn't be a busha that they died. So Hashem gave Machash Chayshach. If you want to know why he picked Machash Chayshach, because it's a good cover-up. The Rishayim died. They were able to bury them, and therefore it wasn't a busha. So he says, what does it say? Why did the Yidden go out? We know from the Haggadah, it says, Vat, Erem Ve'eriyah, you have no mitzvahs. So I gave you two mitzvahs, so you should be zeichet to go out. What were the two mitzvahs? Dam Milan, Dam Pesach, right? Misposesach, B'damayach. So he asks, what do you mean? Why those two mitzvahs? Why didn't they get mitzvah of Kvuras Ameis? Why didn't they get mitzvah? They did the Gemilas Chesed. They did Chesed Shalemis. They went and they buried them during the Makas Chayshah. How can they didn't get credit for that? Why wasn't that the scar? They should be gone. And they were Shayim. So you know what he answered him? He says, you should have mitzvah lik for Yehudi. There's no mitzvah sabag ruben ayid. That's no mitzvah. To go and bury somebody, to marry a yid, that's not, of course he was saying it was a joke. He's saying, it's no mitzvah to bury a Jew. So he didn't get credit for that mitzvah. The kash is a kash. But he's saying, it's no mitzvah. He was saying, you say we should bury him, no mitzvah to bury a yid, because otherwise he would have schus to go out. Why taka the kasha? That was a good kasha. Why taka didn't they get schus for that? Okay, we'll leave that to another time. But the bottom line is what he's saying is that we don't want to be involved in causing another person to get punished. Even that person deserves punishment, let it not come through us. And that's what Avraham Avinu was saying. He says, that's the derech of tzaddik, talmidim Avraham Avinu, liyismayach tamid b'tayvas and shokal bria. They want everyone to be happy, to be good. Okishar adam royas al-holchim b'derech rishayim, and he sees they're going the wrong way, tzarech lispa'olayim, shiachs b'tshuva, you have to daven for them, that they should do tshuva. Even though maybe you have to go on to make a macha, but you should be happy when they lose. Don't be happy. Don't be happy, not only on your enemy, but the enemies of Klal Yisrael. When they fall, there's not a simcha. There's a sadness, because Nebuch, they died without doing tshuva. They died without becoming good people, which they could have become. And that's the answer. So he says, that's the answer we said. Vayishma Avram. We learn a tremendous lesson. Avram Avinu could have left the Sodom people behind and not saved them. But Avram Avinu said, I'm going to save the people of Sodom because I don't want bad to happen to anybody. Even such people, I'm not interested. It should come through me. And therefore he was mispal for them, and there he davened for them. And one last thing, going back, we said before, just at the last pasuk of the parsha. Let's go all the way to parsha's Lech Lecha, the ultimate pasuk here. And what does it say at the end? We end with the Bris Milah of Yitzchak. And it says an interesting lashon. Let's take a look at the mafter. We'll start from Kav Dalet. Avraham ben Tisha b'Shesh Shana b'Yomalo b'Sar Lasa. He was 99. Yishmael b'Noi ben Shloish Esrei Shana. He was 13. We know that Yishmael used that to lord it over Yitzchak, right? As b'Sar Lasa. Be'etzem ha'yom hazeh, in the etzem ha'yom. And that's an interesting lashon. It says it could have just said v'gam nimal Avraham. What did it mean the lashon be'etzem ha'yom in the itzumo shel yom means in the opening of the day and the splendor of the day. What does it mean? The Yishmael Benai, he also had a bris mila. Chalanche Beis, you lead bias, they also had a bris mila. So what's the count of Etzem Yom? So he brings the story that there was a Yid, an old Rav from the Friya de Gador, that used to walk down stair at Rothschild. That's Rothschild Boulevard. It's my Zayde Shul. The Ozhar Rav Shtibel was in 126 Rothschild. It's a beautiful street. It has benches. If there have been there, it's a very beautiful street.
Where is it?
It's in Tel Aviv, downtown Tel Aviv. It's in Tel Aviv. Shtere Rothschild. And it goes down the middle of with benches, and you see, you know, children playing, and there are people playing checkers. It's like a real nice place. So he used to go there every day. So somebody asked him, oh, it's so nice, you go down Shtere Rothschild, how can you do that? He says, my doctor told me for my health that I have to go down Shtere Rothschild. I have to go walking. So I take a walk. He says, oh, but this Shtere Rothschild, it's mamish. I'm more sick when I come out than when I start walking. So what do you mean? He says, because you have all these beautiful Jewish children. Mamish, hey, look, Yiddish and the Shamas. They're sitting with a Blyson cup, and they're eating, who knows what they're eating over there. And mamish eats me alive. This is the future of Klal Yisrael. So the person says, I don't understand something. So why don't you walk in a side street? It's a good question. He says, what are you talking about? He says, they should know what a Yid looks like. That somewhere in their consciousness, they should say, this is what our grandparents and our great-grandparents, and all the way about, that's what they look like, not like this. Thus is a Yid. I remember when we used to come home to my brother's house, he lived right off Kikar Dizengoff in those days, and we used to walk down Shtere Rothschild from the shul to get home to his house. So I remember we'd come in, he's wearing a shtaimel and tbekesh, and you can imagine what Dizengoff was like on a Friday night. And I always felt, even though I didn't know the word yet, I felt we're showing the flag. You're showing as though Yidden, we're not ceding this to you. This is going to always be Halig, it's always part of Eretz Yisrael. Don't take it, Chas V'Shalom, turn it into away from Yiddishkeit. That's not why we're in Eretz Yisrael. So he said that's why he walks down Shtere Rothschild. So he says Avraham Avinu was the same way. Avraham Avinu had within him that tremendous power, as we said at the beginning of the year, was Avraham HaIvri. Not only was he Ivri because he came from Iraq, came from the other side of the river, he was Ivri because he stood alone. He was able to stand alone and stand proud for who he is. And therefore Avraham Avinu says, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, he did the Bris Milah, and everyone can see that he did a Bris Milah. The Satmar Rebbe, when he came after the war, nobody wore a shtreimel on the street. Even people used to keep the shtreimel shul, and they wear a regular hat in the street because they were embarrassed. And the Satmar Rebbe instituted that we stop being embarrassed about Yiddishkeit, be proud of who you are, don't worry about it, you're a Yid, and be proud of being a Yid. And that's why you see that the world changed very much in that sense. And in that way, we also find, okay. Very good, okay. Yeah, okay, and that's why every one of us has to be proud of who we are, to walk down the street, to be tzniyus, to be dressed like a Yid, and in that way, people will see that's what Yidden are, and in Mirtz Hashem, that's the Kiddush Hashem that children, these people want to learn. I'm sure many people became Bali Tshuva because of this man. So we read Batsim HaYom HaZeh, we get to the end of the Sedra. Usually by that time, sorry, the Sedra is over. It's Baruch Hashem in the last pasuk. We have a word, the second last. Batsim HaYom HaZeh, on that day, in the middle of the day, Avraham Avinu did it, so everybody should see we're doing mitzvahs and we're proud. Thank you so much.
I remember reading the Jewish Observer.